National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History, Number 2. My name is Marvin Herzog. My respondent's name is Evelyn Bloom. Today is Tuesday, February the 24th, 1998. Do you know when Mr. Bloom's parents came to the United States?
As I said, they came when they were both children with their families in the late 1800s. I don't know the exact dates.
What were the names of his parents?
Aaron and Rose Bloom. She was a Bender before she married him.
I see.
He was Blumenthal when she married him. They only changed the name to Bloom after he moved to Pittsburgh.
Did the parents practice Orthodox, conservative,
yes,
or Reform
Orthodox.
Judaism? Orthodox. And what was your husband's first name?
Albert W.
And tell us, when and where did you meet your husband?
I met him, did I say that on the tape before? Okay. I met him at the Y Day Camp when I was among the youngest students, and he was the oldest counselor, and then I met him again at the Tree of Life Synagogue when he came back for R&R from Japan, expecting to go back, and they dropped the atom bomb while he was here, so then he didn't have to go back.
Right.
So we were married the following year.
And where did 1946.
You... 1946.
46. When did you marry in 1946, and where did you first set up housekeeping?
We were in Oakland on... Center Avenue and near near Ellsworth, around there, in an apartment, a pull out from the wall. I forget what you call
Murphy
it.
Murphy bed is what.
Murphy bed in a Pullman kitchen,
yeah.
While we were there, when we first married, we lived in Washington, D.C. I should have told you that, because he was stationed in Washington, D.C. after he was relocated here, since he didn't have to go back to China. And we had an apartment there. In Washington, we had an apartment, but I worked at the Bureau of Mines there after I had worked at the Bureau of Mines here. I worked at the Bureau of Standards in Washington, I'm sorry. But I did the same kind of work at the mass spectrometer. I think I told you about it at the beginning. And I actually did research there on things from Carnegie Mellon University, the professor there that was trying to get pure mass spectra of all the hydrocarbons so that we could use the mass spectrometer results to analyze mixes of hydrocarbons, everything from gasoline to petroleum and things like that. So I worked at night there because my husband was working on the night shift at the newspaper. So I ran the machine after everyone else left and during the night, and then met with them in the morning.
Right. Did you, when you set up housekeeping, both in Washington and here, did you have a kosher home?
Of course. As a matter of fact, the most interesting thing is that my mother used to listen to Betty Crocker Homemaker of the Week program, and she said to my husband, "You're a good writer, and you're always praising Evelyn's cooking. Why don't you write a letter and nominate her and give a recipe?" So he dug out the recipe that we had found somewhere here that simulated what he had tasted in China with the sweet and sour sauce. And so we made it with fruit and meatballs, things like that. And so he wrote this letter to the editor, a letter to the contest of Betty Crocker, and we were called and picked for it. And at that time, I was pregnant with another child. I'd had two miscarriages earlier, and this child was going along a little farther, but As we said, we couldn't go then, but we talked to them, and they asked us to send us some more details because they thought they had never had a kosher, because my husband taught Chinese, kosher, and chemistry, and he combined the three C's, if you want to put it that way. And that's why they thought they had Lenten menus and things like that, but they had never focused on a kosher menu. So we sent them more details about what's kosher and what's not kosher and what's parv in between and the things that you can do. And they incorporated it, and then we had a conference call with a couple of their people, one of whom was Jewish and could understand more about what we were saying, and they wrote up a script incorporating all these things, and we had to wait until it turned out I had an early delivery, and the baby was born too early and only lived for 13 days. So then after that, we did go up to New York, and they gave us hotels and tours around Manhattan and Rockefeller Center. We had a whole week of things. Plus, after being on the show, they gave us a freezer and a toaster, all Betty Crocker, and a iron that and we have the tape of the whole program and the script. So they said, do you we'll be making this, and they have the studio audience will be tasting the recipe that your husband sent in. And we said, well, if you expect us to taste it also, when you're passing it around, you'd have to make sure that it's kosher. They said, there's no problem. We'll be able to have that kosher in New York City. So that was nice. Afterwards, we got letters and from people from all around the country, one non-Jewish woman who had worked with a Jewish family and wanted me to give her the recipe for gefilte fish, and all kinds, or chopped liver, I don't remember exactly all these things, but my mother was very happy and very proud that she had recommended us to do that.
Oh, wonderful. What schools did your husband attend?
He attended home school, as I did, and Shenley High School, as I did. Then he attended Duquesne University, where this Catholic teacher got him a scholarship, and then he attended Columbia University School of Journalism for his master's.
So he lived in New York then for a time?
Yeah, during the school time. And then he had been in ROTC here at Duquesne University, so he was called in right after his master's. He was called in for service right around Pearl Harbor time.
And how long did he stay in the service?
Well, he was in until after our marriage, we took our honeymoon down in Florida, where he came out of the Army.
So it had to be about 5 years.
Yeah.
And what rank did he achieve?
He ended up as a lieutenant colonel when he got out. That's a very interesting story, too, because he was a major at the time he came back from China on R&R. And when we got engaged, and I was working at the Bureau of Mines, I was in the elevator one day when one of my co-workers, but an elderly man, said to me, Evelyn, do you really think you ought to marry someone as old as a major? Because to him, you only had to be, you couldn't be a major until you had been in for a long time, but he didn't realize that wartime is a different thing. So I explained to him how old he was. He was only 5 years my elder, but I still think of that every time I talk about that.
Did he go to officers' candidate school?
No, because by ROTC you go in as a second lieutenant
as a commissioned
officer.
Then he
went on to be a first.
I see. And most interesting, when and how did your husband make his connection with the? Was it the Jewish Chronicle or the?
Well, he was here working at the Post Gazette. After the war, he was offered a job at the Post Gazette, and that was when they tried to have the Sunday paper, but there were problems and they had to drop the Sunday paper. But he was when he first came, that's what he was working on, and then he was working on the Daily under Bill Block, of course, whom you know is Jewish. But when the United Jewish Federation decided that they wanted to have a community-wide newspaper and not the two small papers, the Criterion, which was older, and then the Criterion, which was, did I say Criterion first? The Outlook is the second one that was younger, but each of them only had about 3,000 or 4,000, and many of them were duplicate subscriptions. And so the Federation wanted to reach out and make a community-wide newspaper, so they bought out both of the other papers and folded them and started a brand new one that they were going to give to everyone who gave at least $15 to the Federation. As time went by, they stopped doing that, and then the paper started being only subscriptions, and now, in case you still feel you can't afford a subscription, but you want it, you have to sign a paper that you can't afford it. But it was a community-based thing, and they then had 15,000 papers going out, and they reached out beyond the immediate Pittsburgh area as well. So they were looking around for someone to edit the paper, and my husband at that time was the science editor and political affairs correspondent for the Post-Gazette, and they interviewed him, and during the interview he was asked, what do you think your being orthodox would hinder your being able to reach the total community? And he said, gentlemen, it's interesting that in all my career up until this point, nobody has ever questioned my religion. And they were satisfied that he was the right guy, and they offered him the job. He had been teaching journalism at Duquesne University and at Pitt during those years that he was at the Post-Gazette, too. And in the first years that he was at the Chronicle, which early was based in Oakland near the Federation, and then later at the Y in Oakland before it moved to Baum Boulevard, where it is now.
Was it subsequently become a private organization?
No, it is a community-based organization. Part of the board of directors is it's a nonprofit organization. Are nominated by the Federation, and part of the officers are nominated from the general community, and they have a board of directors.
Did Albert ever suggest that you and he should make Aliyah?
Oh yes, not he suggested it. We both talked about it, and we decided that when he was retired, that we were going to. And so he retired in 1984. And he didn't have his stroke until 1986. So in between that time, we had bought a apartment in Jerusalem on a first floor in a lovely building that was built just around the perimeter, and the whole inside was open garden space, something like the atrium, except that the center space was without a cover there. It was an outdoor and a first floor apartment. But then when he had his stroke, and we decided that Israel had too many hills, they didn't have as much handicapped ways like now, and even though we just had a few steps to get up to the apartment, and since Medicare did not cover you overseas, although Blue Cross Blue Shield does, it's
wasn't practical.
Yeah, so we still have the apartment, and we have it rented out, and we keep offering it to our children whenever they're moving, or grandchildren now, if they want it the next time the lease runs out. So it's still in the family there.
Wonderful. Can you think of any one person who may have influenced your childhood or your early adulthood?
Yes.
A mentor?
Yeah, I had a teacher also in Hebrew school at the Tree of Life, Jerry, not Jerry, Bill Bachrach, whose brother was Bachrach, the accountant firm, and he was in medical school at that time, and he was my Hebrew teacher, how he fitted in Hebrew teaching in his medical career, medical schooling, I don't know, but anyway. He was one of the people that I think I looked up to the most and had a good relationship. Years later, I visited him down in Texas with his wife and family even, and kept in touch with him until he since died.
He died. I think you said Albert died in
1990.
In 1990, yes. With such a wonderful family and a great life, busy life, you must have thought about, was there anything you missed? Was there anything you would have done differently?
No, we moved into this house before we had our four children, after we left the apartment after the baby died here. And we liked the gardening. I had a garden that I used to take care of in my house, my parents in Oakland. And since we weren't able to be in Israel, we've made a little bit of Israel here, because we rooted Aravot, the willow branches from the Lulav and Esrog package, and we had a great big willow tree from them that we used to cut and give people at different shuls and different friends to get fresh aravot all during Sukkot, till it got too big and was damaging the fig tree that we also planted from the houses that were being torn down the next day to make the forward shady housing. There was a row of houses there, and we walked by when the houses were all empty, and we saw a little fig bush. It only had one little fig on it, and the bush was about this big, but we asked the Watkins Realty if we could take it, and they said, sure, might as well before these bulldozers come. So we planted it out here, but it spread so, because every year we had to cover it over with leaves and bend it over so it would survive the winter,
yeah.
And it rooted again where it bent over and made another one, so it's grown now, so it covers, you know, almost the size of this room outside, and the willow tree was getting in its way, and so we planted some more willows, we rooted some more and put them in the front yard. So now we have them there, and we have more space here for my figs. And I'd like to give you some frozen figs when you leave. Remind me.
Let me, in conclusion.
When I was honored most recently, in addition to this Hillel Academy early honoring and Technion honoring, I was honored by Hillel Academy at their 49th anniversary dinner a couple years ago. And my grandson was called to speak a little bit, and he talked about the figs, because they used to help me come and cover them over with leaves and uncover them. And the grandma has a little bit of Israel in her backyard and is interested in nature.
Isn't that interesting? Is there anything else you'd like to tell us in conclusion?
I don't think I mentioned much when I talked about the five Zionist organizations, but I also then served as president, chairman of the Pittsburgh American Zionist Federation, which then became the American Zionist Movement. My husband chaired that with me 1 year also before he died. And
what a busy and magnificent...
And I still
time you have had.
I still doing too much. I'm a corresponding secretary for the ZOA, and I was on the Scholar in Residence Committee that we're having now. We're bringing him next week, and I was on the Film Festival Committee, which is just finishing in a week or so, here too. So, I can't understand people who say they don't know what to do. I don't play cards. I don't smoke. I'm not a real shopper. I don't drink. There's always too much
to
do.
I think with your busy life, you don't have time to do any of those things.
And I like to walk. As I say, we used to walk all the 2.5 miles, and then we didn't, and then I was able to do it again myself until I had some back surgery last summer, but now I'm back to the point where I can do that that long walking.
Good. Well, on behalf of the National Council of Jewish Women, we thank you, and it's been a personal pleasure to talk with you.
I'm a life member of that as well.